Hello, welcome to our radio show, Rediscovering the Joy of Learning with the Access Possibility School Teachers. I am Christine DiDomenico, a teacher and the principal of the Access Possibility School, and I'm joined by Simone Padour, one of our very amazing and talented teachers. And today we have a guest to talk about how she works with kids using access consciousness tools in a way that the kids can hear in school and teachers and administrators can hear. So welcome, Tiffany Thien. Thanks for joining us, Tiffany.
Thank you. Thank you. Nice to be here.
So Tiffany, can we start by you just kind of giving us a little overview of your background and what you do with kids?
Okay, my overview. I'm a teacher. I've been teaching special education for over 16 years. I currently teach middle school. Before that, I taught high school. So with children with all types of learning disabilities, my current teaching now is in math. I've always taught math to students with learning disabilities in Sarasota, Florida. I made a career out of teaching in Title I schools because those are the kids I tend to reach out to better.
So from our chat, I realized that you have a different way of looking at things, and you talked a little bit about how you came to have a different perspective about kids and learning. So can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. As a kid growing up, my family moved around a lot. So I was born in Dearborn, Michigan, but I lived in Miami, Florida for a while. And then I moved to Somerset, Kentucky, which was a totally different lifestyle and mindset. So being from all these different states and having all these different mindsets, as a kid growing up, I was around a lot of different people and how they think, which is a lot of Ruby Payne, you know, how people with poverty think, determining personality styles. So I was able to incorporate all this while teaching. And access consciousness helped me out a whole lot because a lot of times these students become frustrated, overwhelmed, or stuck, and they shut down. And the tools allow them to ask the question and think instead of me force feeding them to think, which is what I like about it.
So how are some of the ways that you incorporate the tools, Tiffany? I know you were talking about some of the questions and things like that.
Oh, yes. Well, with math, students have a hard time taking an abstract object, something abstract, and making it concrete. And most of the time, that's how these kids think. They're very concrete thinkers. They're very visual. So when you're sitting there throwing, you know, the alphabet into the math problems, they think it's evil and they don't want to learn. And if it's remotely uncomfortable, they have a hard time staying focused. And a lot of these kids, you know, they don't want to think about that. They don't want to work with that. So instead of making it an uncomfortable situation, I started asking, instead of peeking and asking questions according to Bloom's taxonomy, I started adding access consciousness in there instead. I was like, you know, how can it get any better than this? How does it get any easier than this? You know, the object of the game is to get the guy to the other side. So step one, what can we do? How can we make it better than this? And then they start talking with themselves. And then something magical starts to happen. Usually you'll have one or two kids that will become very competitive, and then they'll get enthusiastic, and then a couple others will join in. And I noticed that the more I do that, the better it gets. And then whenever they get it right, it's like, wow, how does it get better than that? Oh, wow. And I make it sound like it's the best thing since sliced bread. And I've been doing this for a few months now, and I'm noticing their test grades are going up. I'm noticing their effort is going up. A lot of them, instead of not trying and putting their head down, are picking up marker board markers and trying because now there's no threat. And then when another student will sit there and pass judgment on another student, it's like, well, that's just an interesting point of view. How do you know his perspective compared to your perspective? You know, from his point of view, he's sitting from here, it's totally different. So by using that without necessarily using that, it allows them to ask that question and think about it. And with teenagers in middle school in drama, it helps a lot.
Drama? Really? High school?
In middle school, you get, Miss, you don't understand. He doesn't like me anymore. And I'm like, that's just an interesting point of view. It's not your fault, it's his. Why are you saying that for? Well, what a beautiful gift you are. if he doesn't want it, that that's just an interesting point of view. Don't take it personally. And they'll look at me real funny, like, you're right. I'm like, yeah. Are you being stabbed right now? No. Do you feel any punches? Well, they think I'm stupid. That's their point of view. Just an interesting point of view. Are you stupid? And I just keep going back and forth with that, and it does help. Or I'll tell them, you know, well, let's just pot and pock that then. You don't feel good about that? No. You know, that makes me feel kind of yucky too. Let's pot and pock that. Okay.
How do you explain that to them? Like when you say pot and pock, like, pot. You know, I taught in a public school for many years and I never used our access.
Yeah, pot and pock.
But how do you explain that to them?
Well, I tell them it's like, okay, guys. And I show them this picture of a horse and everybody sees this picture. It's a horse and it's tied to a plastic chair and it's talking about mindset. And it's like, look at that guy. Since that horse was a pony, I tell them. That horse, since it was a pony, it must have been tied to that tree. And it must have taught itself that it could never go, never go. And now that it's an adult, it's tied to a little plastic chair. Look at that beautiful field behind it. And it can't go because it thinks it can't go. So now that's the point of creation, the point of destruction at the same time, isn't it? That point of creation means you were tied to that tree and you couldn't move anywhere. But it destroyed you at the same time because at that time you thought it was safe. Well, doesn't it destroy your options now because now you can't go forward because you have that old thought? Yeah. So let's pot and pock that times a gazillion. All right. There we go. Pot and pocket there. And I don't say the right, wrong, good, and bad until the sixth graders I do because I make it kind of funny. I said, you know, like Harry Potter, right, wrong, good, bad, pot, pock, all nine shorts, boys, and beyonds. And they'll do that. And some of them kind of like it and they feel kind of better. It does help a lot with the drama. I wouldn't have seen, if I wouldn't have never done this, I wouldn't have believed it. I mean, I've been teaching for years. I just started doing this year, and I'm like, wow, there's something here. You know, kids are turning in homework that never done homework before. Kids are, we had Pi Day at school, and I made it like that. Wow, Pi Day, 31416, we rounded it up and let them know how big Pi was. And they actually spent their time memorizing the numbers of Pi. And these kids could care less before. And I'm like, wow, we're onto something here. How does it get better than that? And I even every day up and down the hallways, I'll see something where kids are misbehaving. I'll think, how does it get better than this? How can we destroy and uncreate this and make it better? And so I'm doing my part as well. Unfortunately, it's a failing school, but it's coming. It's in its third year, but it's coming around. These kids are really turning around since I've been there. So I'm hoping that their grades come back a lot better than what some of the locals are thinking they'll be. We'll find out.
So just to give our audience a little more perspective on the questions, we ask questions because they open up possibilities. So the questions Tiffany's talking about are questions with no answer attached. They're just questions to create something else. So by telling a kid or asking a kid what else is possible, it's like what you explained with the pot and pock. It's like, this is the way it was, and now how can we create this different, or what else can show up? And it's like, I've always described it to kids like, oh, the light bulb moment, you know, how in a comic you see the little light bulb goes on. So that's what Christian does. It gives you that light bulb moment of, oh, wow, I can do this, I can do that.
Right. And see, they're not used to having a choice. So they're like, what? Yeah. I can make a choice. I don't have to write the, you know. And that picture of the horse being tied to that plastic chair.
Love that.
That's brilliant.
Was perfect because they see it. It's like, look at that beautiful field. They can't roll in the grass. They can't eat the clover because they think that they're dumb. Just like you're thinking that. Their past is no longer real, right? Because now you see if he's not there, if he's tied there, then that's, you know, that's no longer the truth. Now you could do this. What else is possible? Well, I'm going to quit school. Well, that's not possible. Look at the laws and stuff. So we got to think of, you know, let's be smarter, not harder. So things like that, when you say it to them, it gives them, they get to choose without realizing they're choosing, without realizing they're reaching their inner self is what I'm thinking. Because some of these kids are coming up with some really brilliant ideas. that I would have never anticipated before. I have a TBI student who's doing three-step equations with a missing almost 2 years of math. All of a sudden, he's doing three-step equations. It's like, it's amazing. So it does help. There's something, it just, they work. Yeah. They do. And then when they start saying it to each other, because it becomes lingo in your classroom, you know how you have certain lingo in your classroom, the kids will keep repeating it? That starts to happen. That will happen after about 2 months. And that's when it's really cool, because you hear the kids saying it and you just feel the energy change in the room. Try that one.
That's amazing.
I had a circumstance where I would teach the kids. They were in fifth grade when I started using tools. I kind of started using it with that grade first. I was in a 5, 6, 7, 8 school, and I talked about it by putting all their beliefs about them in a bubble and popping the bubble. And, and then they were in fifth grade. I taught them that, and I would use it a little bit here and there. But then when they got to eighth grade, that class, one of the girls said to me, "Oh yeah, I was at a swim practice and I told this other girl to put it in the bubble and pop it." And I was like, wow, she remembered that from fifth grade. It's amazing what an impact you can have when you don't even realize you're having an impact. So
yeah, well, that's an amazing story. I like that one.
And I love the visual of the horse too.
Oh yeah.
I'll use that if you don't mind.
Oh no, take it. That's what we're for. It really does help. And when you introduce it that way, the kids see a concrete version of wow, this could be. It empowers them somehow. And then when they see positive change, it works even better. That's when it's really great, is when you see that moment. And then they'll go down some, because with change comes uncomfort. And of course, being in a Title I school, I have a lot of students that are homeless, hungry. Some of them I know are in abusive type situations, but you can't really do anything about it. And knowing that they take these tools home with them. So I'm not just teaching them at school on how to solve a math problem. I'm even talking about everyday life situations that happen in class, because they always bring in something like, oh, so-and-so said this. Mom is feeling that. Dad and mom are fighting. And a lot of parents don't realize that their children tell us everything when it comes to their parents fighting. And I use this a lot. It's just an interesting point of view. Your parents loved you so much. That's why they're fighting. Sometimes parents hurt so bad they don't realize they hurt those around them. It's just an interesting point of view. Think about it. How bad do you have to hurt inside to treat somebody else that way? That's where they're at. So how could we have an interesting point of view? And that does help them, because it's kind of hard to come to school and be happy after going home and watching dad beat mom up for 2 hours, you know? That's what I'm working in, that kind of battlefield.
So do you find ever that you've got kids that like resist any of the tools or the questions, or?
I will always have that one or two. And that one or two are the ones that usually are the ones that are hurting the most. I don't know if you've noticed that or not, but the one or two that will misbehave are the one or two that need it more than anybody. So I usually find a way to, instead of trying to be that person to redirect them, but come on, okay, I understand you don't want to work today. Okay, that's okay. You don't have to take my word for it. You don't have to, you know, you're having a bad day, put your head down. That way you don't have to worry about it. So then as I keep on, even though their head's down, they think they're not participating. They're still listening, because they wanted to get out of the room. I didn't let them go. So they're hearing how all the other kids are working out some of the problems out loud. It could be a math problem. It could be a life problem. I think what really, the magical part, just to share with you, is this just happened like a month and a half ago. I came back from spring break and I had three kids come into my classroom and they were hungry and they were crying because they didn't get a chance to go grocery shopping yet because mom was waiting for the food truck to come. So I took out my lunch and I said, oh, well, okay, well, here, this is all I got, but I'll share this with you. And I had these little Halo oranges and they go, you got them fancy oranges, miss. We ain't allowed to have them there fancy oranges. Oh, I can't believe I get to have a fancy orange. How does it get better than this? And it occurred to me, they knew how to use it that night. The truck came early.
Oh, wow.
That truck came right. It was supposed to go the next day. That night, the truck was there, and it was had the project feeding. I was like, "Oh wow, it worked!" But it was so funny hearing them. How can it get better than holding that little orange up? And I was like, "Gosh, Rodley, you're so funny!" But it worked, and it worked for them. So as I tried to put myself in his point of view, think about it. I'm a kid that came to school hungry, got an awesome orange that I never would have thought about. How does it get better than this? And mom got enough food for the month at night.
You're making us cry.
Well, that's how powerful we are.
Yeah.
Just with those tools. Really? It was like, whoa.
I was just thinking, I'm glad this is a radio show because I'm
what a gift. Oh my gosh, what a gift you are to these kids.
You know, I never really thought of it as a gift. I just like to look at myself as the person holding the flashlight. That's all I really am. But you know what? No other teachers probably would have embrace that. They would have swallowed that fear and kept on with the Common Core and the. Now, don't get me wrong. I still keep up with the curriculum. I just throw all these other things in there instead of just using that Bloom's taxonomy. I don't think, you know, the only way I was able to remember that anyway was Kevin Costner ate apples at 7-Eleven. It never really helped me in the classroom. That's how I had to remember it. But you know, using these, like I said, these questions, it's not even helping them, only helping them for just, like I said, classwork. It's helping them for everyday problems because they're learning how to use it at home. They're learning how to use it whenever they go. They learn how, they're saying it whenever they're grateful. Because I always say that whenever somebody gives me something nice or when something bad happens, I don't say it a sarcastic way. I just say it in a bummer type way. Like, okay, how can it get better than this? Surely we can make it better than this. You know, through the acting out and playing. And I just, like I said, I didn't realize I would reach so many kids. Gosh, bless those guys for creating Access Consciousness. I'm telling you.
Yeah. So have you noticed any difference in other teachers with you using the tools? Even if they're not in your classroom or in your interactions, do you notice anything different there or in the school, I wonder?
I notice a difference in the school. We've been through a lot and because when you're a failing school, you get a lot of negative publicity. They're not behind the trenches. You guys know what it's like over there. We're not only their teacher or their parent, their counselor, their nurse, you know, it's their mother, their father, when they're, you know, cause sometimes they're with us longer than anybody else. And, from working with the teachers around me, they've kind of warmed up to me. And I don't know if it's because I'm always positive. Because when you walk in that school, it's a negative type of environment. It's sad. Because everybody there is dealing with so many hardships. So here I come walking in and, hi, how does it get better than this? You know, I'm pretty sure a couple of them wanted to slap me when they first met me. But now, you know, they've really warmed up to me. My principal is an amazing principal. Oh, gosh. And that's the reason why I'm there is because of that principle. She believes in me. She lets me go and do what I, you know, keep doing what I'm doing as far as working with the kids. But the teacher next to me, I've noticed a huge shift in her changing. A lot of the kids are having a hard time, but that's because it's testing. I would love to do more stuff there, but I can't really just keep using those basic tools because then you kind of borderline and I don't want to get, you know, into any kind of hairy details with what you can and can't do at school. But just those simple questions really do help a lot. And potting and pocking what the kids can't pot and pock has helped.
Well, it's interesting you say that because, I mean, we run the Access Possibility School. We teach, you know, we can teach with as many or as, you know, tools as we want to. And a lot of the time, sure, we ask questions and how does it get better than this? What else is possible? We do all of that. And you know what the biggest thing for me, and Christy and I have had this conversation many times, is just by being you, and there's some dude that wrote a book about this, you change the world. Like, we just be us, and we don't judge the kids, and if we do, we podpock ourselves. And it changes things. Like, we've looked at these kids and we're like, you know, like, It just changes shit. I shouldn't swear, but I did.
No, it's good. We love vocabulary enhancers. That just hit me. I didn't realize that. I was so busy just doing. I didn't see it that way. Sorry about this.
Oh, now we have Tiffany in tears. Well, really, and that is the gift. And I've been using these tools for 10 years. And until we started this school and I watched Simone with the kids and the energy that she bees with the kids, there is absolutely...
Oh, we just lost you, Christine. Your sound just...
After this, better.
Yeah.
She's just such a space of no judgment that she doesn't pot and pock very much. She doesn't, she's just being her and just being that energy of no judgment. And that's what I get from you, Tiffany, is just that space. Like, how many other people are that with them? And what a gift you are just by being the energy that you are.
Wow.
The possibilities that you have opened up for these kids is amazing.
I didn't see it that way, but now that you pointed it out to me, I'm like, well, I just... Now I feel like Forrest Gump with the happy face thing.
Yeah, I mean, we have one student who's started, I guess, in February, and at his, he's part-time, so he goes to regular school and he comes to us, and so he's learned a lot of behaviors that work, to manipulate people and control people. And what I noticed right at the beginning was that Simone just didn't buy that as real. She didn't buy that his limitations were real, or that things couldn't be changed. So things began to change.
And the neat thing is he's pushing the class now. He's the leader of the class.
Oh, wow.
To keep up with him. And they want to keep up with him. Like, there's this competition that's started. And I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, that's what excess consciousness does, boy. It makes the competition work. It's to the point where it's like, I have to keep him quiet from arguing with who's right. It's like, shh, you're going to have people coming in here thinking there's a brawl.
Well, yes. And what comes up so often is that competition is bad. And yet, how can it contribute to something greater? And it really has for both you and for Simone in the classroom. It's created something greater.
Yeah.
So if we don't make it wrong, competition or anything else, what else is possible? If we're, it opens us up to so many more possibilities. If Simone noticed or you noticed that the competition helped, but you have had a point of view that competition isn't good and then didn't follow the energy of that, then you just missed this great possibility for change.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been amazing. Like, I had another kid who really didn't like the subject and was really just, she was being as slow as molasses in January, let's just say. And she would just hold things and it was just painful. And as soon as he came along and we started playing, making a game out of it and going, oh, well, you got so many points for this and so many points for that. And he loves a game as well. And so does she. And all of a sudden she's getting her work done on time. She's, being more conscientious of, her punctuation and her spelling. And it's just like, oh my God.
Oh, that's the ones when you go, oh. Yeah. And then people always ask, about teachers and they go, well, why, if it's so bad, why are you staying with the pay so bad? Because it's moments like that. It's those moments like that. When you see a kid do that, there's no paycheck that can fix that. And there's no job that could satisfy that my need to, because my life purpose is to help others. That's what I really believe it is. And if you're going to have me have another job, that aha moment is better than anything. And you've witnessed it. You're talking about it. And you see more of those with Access Consciousness. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, I just put in one of the the notes on the, because we're Skyping all the time, that I've never experienced in any other school, those everyday miracles, but almost every class miracles. And I've been using Access with kids for probably about six or seven years now.
Oh, really? Okay. And,
in various degrees, like yourself, sometimes I was in situations where I could only use, you know, few tools, if you will.
Right. Especially, yeah. I can see it now.
I was going somewhere with this, but being at this school, we were all willing to be that and ask questions, like right from, you know, our promotions team to our teachers to our administrators to everybody. And the kids be that as well. That's the funny thing. Somebody was like, oh, maybe the kids should, you know, write an article about the tools that they use. And I'm like, the kids are the tools. Mm-hmm. They are 10-second increments. They ask questions all the time. They are. Like, right. They don't even know. They're just breathing them. So what was I saying? Yeah, so having all of those people working together, it's just like this whirlwind of possibilities. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you get the more people that are on the board, the stronger it gets and the bigger the change, the more radical the change.
Yeah.
Like I started teaching Access Consciousness to my aide, and she started getting into it. She started understanding it, although she was a little reserved at first because, you know, she's Mexican and Catholic, really, you know. So they kind of like, okay, wait a minute. And I just said, watch. Because she was like, I don't want no Santarita. No, it's not like that. It's not for you. It's not that. Just watch me. And actually, the way I look at it is I incorporated it in my assertive discipline. I've incorporated it into, you know, my questioning techniques. I've incorporated it into the way the kids ask questions to each other. I've even put these, you know, a lot of these questions up at the top. But lately, after being in, I've been part of another group on Facebook with Corey Michelle. And a lot of her questions taught me a lot. And if it wasn't for being on that page and a lot of those other teachers and a lot of those other, you know, were teaching me how to ask questions, sometimes in the classroom, I don't know if you've tried this yet, where you're trying to teach a lesson and none of them get it, you get their attention. Instead of getting frustrated, I always just whisper to myself, how does it get better than this? What is it that I'm missing here? What is it? You know, that's what's helped me out a whole lot. And then as I'm modeling this, the kids are watching. So basically, I'm allowing myself to be a bit transparent and allowing them to watch me model this. And I think that's even helped out a lot.
Well, yeah. I think that's a great point, because they see that it's like, as teachers, we're supposed to know everything. We're supposed to have it all and have the answers. And when they see you like modeling, like you're saying that, oh, you know, I'm asking a question because I'm really not sure where to go with this. And so they see that that's okay. And I think that is a huge piece, because what I noticed is there's this feeling of, I don't want to be wrong, or I have to have the right answer, and I won't answer unless I have the right answer. So by you modeling that, that just creates a space of, oh, I don't have to know everything either. And I can ask these questions to start bringing up, you know, other awarenesses of what I'm missing or something like that.
Mm-hmm. You brought it up. You made it so much more eloquent than I just did. Yeah, but that's exactly, yeah, by us modeling in the classroom, it's really helped out a lot. It's even helped out with a lot of the fighting, a lot of the bickering, self-esteem, a lot of the self-esteem. It's helped out a lot with that. A lot of the times, I don't know if Simone's even had the same, where when you're in the classroom, they won't answer. You can't get the kids to answer. They're afraid to answer. They don't want to be wrong. So I'll make a big joke out of it. What's so bad if you're wrong? Oh, I know. We are going to tie you to the mast and beat you. That's how I am in the classroom. So then they laugh and they see, okay, that's a ridiculous thought. Yeah. Let's pot and pock that one. Let's try it again. Okay. What else can we do here? And that's how I constantly talk to them. I'm still a rookie when it comes to a lot of the tools. What I'm listening to you ladies, it's amazing. It's like, oh, wow, that's a good idea.
Well, we're doing the same.
But the best way to describe me when I'm in the classroom, a lot of people, they said I'm Robin Williams and Reba McEntire. Together when they put me in the classroom because I got a southern accent when I'm in there with my red hair and I'm hyper like that. I have a lot of energy, so they're like, okay.
That's great. That's amazing. We are running out of time. So where can people find you if they want to just kind of ask you a question or what's the best way to reach you?
Oh, wow. They could contact me through Facebook. I never really thought about that.
Okay. So Tiffany.
Yeah, Tiffany Thien at Facebook, you know, on Facebook. Mm-hmm. I'm also part of a lot of Access Consciousness groups. You'll see me in there because I've been learning a lot. You ladies are wonderful, by the way. I found a bunch of you.
Found you because I saw your story on Corey's page, and I was like, "Yoink!" And I put it in threads, and I was like, "Have you seen this lady? Do you know who she is?"
Yeah, and that's how people basically found me. I kind of don't want to be over enthusiastic because sometimes they tend to like back away. So I'm trying to learn how to be gentle when bringing out the stuff, but. Yeah, whenever you get a chance, any of you teachers out there, just try using the questions. Even when your principal's supervising you, watch your kids turn into magic. Because that's what happens.
Thank you for that. That's great advice. So if listeners, if you'd like to find out more information about the Access Consciousness tools, you can go to accessconsciousness.com. To find out more about the school, you can go to accesspossibilitiesschool.com. We have full-time programs, part-time programs, tutoring, extracurricular activities for kids and adults, and we're always adding new things every day. We're just getting our summer program ready, so we have lots of things going on. So any last words, Simone or Tiffany?
I'm just so grateful, and we've got to have you on again.
I would love to. I would love to find out more. I'm like, wow, I'm really interested. This is my passion.
Yeah, we're very grateful for you. Thank you so much, Tiffany, for spending.
Oh, and thank you. I'm so honored. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.